The Rebel Capitalist Show, episode 237.
Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show.
All right, guys, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome someone back to the Rebel Capitalist Show. He's a good buddy of mine. He is an options expert, and he's the co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, Macro Voices. His name is Patrick Serezna. Patrick, welcome back to the Rebel Capitalist Show, my friend.
Oh, thank you for having me, George. It's so great to be back on the show. And you know what? I wanted to thank you for inviting me to be a part of your show down in Miami. I'm so looking forward to going down there, meeting so many of your listeners and having a few beers with you. It'll be awesome.
That's right. At Rebel Capitalist Live, June 11th through the 13th. I'm completely, totally stoked for that as well. But, you know, let's take it to today's conversation. And I was actually on Chris Cole's website. I've been doing a lot of reading. He's got a new paper. Everyone's very familiar with the dragon portfolio and the allegory of the hawk and serpent. But he actually came out with another paper called The Rise of the Dragon, where he actually does back testing with the dragon portfolio for 2020 and compares how it did relative to like a risk parity portfolio, the 60-40 portfolio that most people know about through their financial advisor. And it's just staggering how well the dragon portfolio did. I think it was up like 52% or something like that. He's got the numbers in this most recent report. But anyway, that was kind of right on my mind. So we were talking the other day and you said, well, maybe let's do a video for some people who might be new to options, or maybe some people that have a little bit of experience on how they could kind of build this into their own portfolio, this type, this concept of the dragon portfolio, while at the same time, maybe giving them some information as to how they could use options to also create cash flow, yes, which is something that I'm always interested in, being a real estate guy. So that's why we've got you here today. So I'll just hand it over to you so you can teach us how to work the dragon portfolio that did so well in 2020. And make a little bit of cash flow from these options.
Sounds like a plan. So what I want to talk about is, so last time when we were together, we were talking about how to go long volatility with options. So there's all sorts of ways to build that volatility component of your portfolio, give you tail risk insurance on all sorts of volatile moves that can occur in there. And of course, we did that presentation and we had a great time with it. But one of my favorite strategies, one of the most consistent strategies that I utilize is options as an income source. And to me, this is such an important and valuable strategy for people to know that exists and how to utilize it. And what I love about options as an income source, whether through cover call writing, selling puts, or doing any of these types of things, it diversifies you from where your returns are coming from. And one of the great things about a dragon portfolio or something like this is that, you know, by owning all the different asset classes, you're supposed to create these uncorrelated things that are moving and creating that long-term return. But what we what happens is when you own the equity components of your portfolio, a lot of times you're going to see that you need the capital appreciation of those equities to make your return, and you need and they tend to all go together. In other words, you if there's a bull market phase and you have a great 3 months, you'll see the majority, like a tide rising in the water, like your portfolio goes up because all of those things are moving with the market. But what's always interesting is, how do you create a return in a period when the market isn't so bullish, when things are more flat, sideways? How do you create something that performs when other things aren't? And I view option writing and the premium, what I call premium harvesting, as a diversifier, because it's not correlated to market movement. You don't need the market going up or down in order to make this return. So let's actually go through that thought process here, George.
And one thing I want to point out, that our good friend Lynn Alden actually uses this strategy herself, because I know a lot of my viewers and listeners are big fans of Lynn. as I am. And just FYI, she uses this to a certain degree in her own portfolio.
There, and you know, this beautiful thing is that there are so many different ways to apply the strategy, George. And you know, Lynn might have one way and I have another way. But the key is one has to simply educate themselves to know that this is even a choice. There's so many people out there that don't even know that they could do this, or even if they could, how to do it consistently, how to make this a part of your portfolio. And so what I want to basically ask the question over here is, when you buy traditional investment, let's say you just buy an ETF or some market index or something like that, how much return are you going to make, and how long is it going to take you to make that return? There's a lot of questions that, you know, you buying it and you hope that the investment will go up and that it will work. But in the end, there's a lot of uncertainties. What I love about options writing or premium harvesting is that when we sell an option premium to earn a return, we know exactly how much cash flow we're going to make, and we know how long it's going to take for us to make it. And so so we can turn around, and if I collected 10% over 3 months in one income right, then I know it's going to take me exactly 3 months to make 10% in cash flow. And cash flow is not total return because the stocks are fluctuating higher or lower and things like that. But the premium that we harvested is a fixed amount. It's as real as a dividend. So when you sell a premium and that cash is literally deposited into your account right away, and you literally see your cash balance increase. Let's say we're using that 10% number I was saying. When I sell that premium and collect 10% on that, it will literally increase your cash balance in your account. And you and that and whether the stock fluctuates higher or lower, that 10% is yours to keep.
Right.
And when we sell that option, let's say for 3 months, we know it's going to we have entered an obligation for 3 months of time in order to earn that 10%.
Yeah.
And so it creates a fixed element to that.
Yeah. Patrick, let me interject a couple things here. First and foremost, I want to make sure that if people feel as though this is a little over their head, or what you're saying right now is kind of intimidating. Just bear with us, because it's something that even a beginner can do if they're willing to put forth a little time. I'm not saying you just dive in head first, but you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. It's pretty straightforward once you learn the lingo. I want to point that out. Then also, a lot of people that watch my videos know I prefer something I call a 10-80-10 portfolio, which is 10% insurance, 80% investing. But I define those investments as things that pay you to own them. So I haven't even thought about it, but I don't know, maybe this might fit into that category, because it definitely pays you to own it. What I'm going to be really curious to find out throughout the rest of the interview here is if you can do this, if you can use this strategy over the long term, like as an example, not have to roll it over every 3 months, but do one trade where it's for the next 2 years or something.
You totally
like
can.
That.
You
yeah,
totally okay. can. Cool. And because there are long-term options on that.
Yeah.
And circling back to have that conversation about how it fits into a portfolio, the beautiful thing about the strategy we're covering, while it is most common for us to demonstrate it on stocks, so we're going to pick an equity, we're going to pick some sort of a stock and demonstrate the option writing, this strategy is readily available. You can option write on gold bullion. You can option write on bonds, like treasury bonds. You could option write on Bitcoin. This is not about just an equity asset class. You can use this income strategy for any one of the asset classes within your mix.
Yeah, Patrick, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically what we're doing with this strategy is you're just turning yourself into an insurance provider.
Something right?
you're,
like
you're
that.
Just, you're just kind of selling a premium. They're giving you these premium payments. So, is that?
Absolutely. I call it the stock rental business. And so, what we're doing here is rather than playing a stock from its appreciation, saying like, I want all of the upside of the stock, what you literally can do is rent out your shares to a speculator and be paid a guaranteed income up front for giving them the upside of the market and you taking a certain guaranteed income up front. And so we'll do some examples. I just want, let's talk theory. But the one thing I wanted to point out on this chart over here, George, is that when we buy just a traditional investment, you actually have to be somewhat right about its direction to be profitable. In other words, you have to buy it and it has to go up for you to make money. So when you own that investment, even if it's paying you a modest dividend, you've lost the opportunity to make meaningful gains. Let's say if over the next year, that investment is just stuck in the mud. And so therefore, in order to be good at investing, everyone is channeling all of their emotional energy into what is hot, what is moving, where is the money being made, because I got to own the stuff that's working. But the beautiful part about option writing is that we, in order to be profitable, just actually have to pick stocks that are going to stay even flat and they could appreciate. But the benefit of this is the fact that we don't have to be good stock pickers. We just can't be really bad ones. in other words, you have to create a scenario where you just can't be buying the shit, right? Like the stuff that could wipe out 50% on the downside. You want to pick stocks that are going to be somewhat stable. And even if they're not going up, you're able to generate a cash flow off of them. And so it becomes a very forgiving strategy, because you don't have to always be chasing that one hot thing that could be the hot thing in the market. You're just being a cash flow pig. You're just basically sitting there continuously grabbing at income, bringing it in. And
so let's go over the strategy. Then at the end, let's talk about the downside and the risks for people, because obviously, you know, there's no free lunch. So, yes, but let's do that at the end so people really understand the whole concept.
Absolutely. So let's actually talk specifically about, there's two ways to approach income writing, through covered call writing and through put selling. Okay. And so I want to compare the two a little bit and help everyone understand how this works. But covered call writing involves us owning the physical shares of the stock or ETF or commodity or currency or whatever we're option writing on. Okay. We physically own the shares. And so at this moment, we are not taking any risk different than a shareholder at this moment. We basically own the same shares you would own anyway. But what we do is we sell a premium to collect this income upfront for giving the speculator the right to be able to buy that stock from us at a specific price over a specific period of time. We basically rented a speculator the upside of that for us.
Just renting it to them so they can sell it short?
Well, no, we're renting their right for them to have the upside of the security. So they have the right to buy the shares from us. Okay. And participate on the upside.
Yeah. And see, guys, I don't understand this stuff either. So if I can get it, Patrick is here to teach me. So, you can definitely get it as well. I have just as many questions as you do.
So George, the way that I like to describe it is this: it's bird in hand versus two in the bush. In other words, if I said you could own the stock and that stock might make you 20%, but it might not. It might stay flat. Or I'll give you a guaranteed 10%, but you can't make more than that. That's bird in hand versus two in the bush. Someone will say, well, I'd rather take a guaranteed 10 than the chance I might make 20, but I also have a chance that I might make nothing. And so it's a game of winning through base hits rather than home runs.
Yeah. What is the mentality of the other side of the trade?
The speculator, which is that someone who actually believes that security has a big upside and they're willing to pay a premium to leverage up their upside potential through the purchase of the option, right? Okay. And so that they're being a market timer, you're being just a premium harvester. Okay. And so it's a win-win in a way, George, because what you want to think is that if I just want every single month to make an X percent return, and the speculator is the one saying, well, I don't care about month to month. I just want to hit a big one. And I want to hit one where I'm going to make, you know, hundreds of percent return on my speculation. And I'm going to just be fishing for this one trade that's going to make me this win. In the end, if you end up losing your stock and you made 10%, but the speculator bought the stock and they made a big return, in the end, you both won. It's just you won by having a guaranteed upfront return, and they won by getting having been correct about the upside of the security.
Yeah, it seems like it's a way to monetize the hysteria in the market right now with the stimmy check Robinhood crowd.
Well, there are a number of people that are doing all the premium grabbing on the GameStops. Like but there are some big premiums on that. We can go there actually. We can even do that because I wanted to actually do real examples here. Like, I mean, we're doing a lot of presentation slides and there's a lot of words on here, but let's actually do some real examples and look at this. I'm just going to pull up on my screen. We'll take a look. Actually, what you just said, let's do GameStop. Here we go. This is an IB account. So you have here GME GameStop trading at $144.
Wow, that's what it is, right? I haven't looked at it.
Let's actually take a look at the chart just to give us some context on this, right? And so this stock has more or less been trading range bound here.
Look at that volatility.
Oh, it's insane.
Unbelievable.
It's insane volatility. And you know, at some point, is the stock vulnerable for going back under 100? Maybe. But just for the sake of today, as an example, since we brought it up, this is a security that is running near 100 vol premium on these options. And so let's actually look at what it would pay for us if we were owners of the share. So let's just assume that somebody, one of your listeners here, has the shares in their portfolio and it has 100 of these and has done well because they may have bought it at the beginning of when GameStop started to get bulled by the Wall Street Bets crowd. But let's look at it this way. Right now, a June 18th, so 39 days till its expiration, $150 strike call is paying $20. So basically, let's just go through a scenario where I own 100 shares of this. I'm just going to buy it right now just so that we have the shares, 100 shares of GameStop in our portfolio.
Okay.
And so we have this $14,000 investment in GameStop. By the way, this is a simulated account. I didn't buy it with real money right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to sell a covered call. And you can see it's $20 bid. I'm going to just sell one covered call, which represents 100 shares, and we're going to generate a 2,000. Oh, this one is restricted. We'll have to use a different example. So let's not use GameStop. Let's use.
What is it restricted by the broker?
Yeah, there's a restriction on selling premium on this one. I'll have to figure out. I wasn't ready to use this in his example. So let's use something like BTU, which is Peabody Energy. This one here is coal mining stock. It's at $6 here. So let's just say
Patrick, because a lot of my viewers are very bullish on commodities and coal.
There you go. So let's say we own Peabody here. And we own 100 shares. It's $580 to own 100 shares of this BTU, right? So it's $5.85 for the shares, mm-hmm. right? And so now what we're going to do is we're going to turn around and we're going to say, well, you know what? I could have the unlimited upside potential of this stock, but I could also sell a covered call and earn a guaranteed income. So right now, a June $6 call option is paying 70 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I could turn around and sell one covered call right here for 70 cents. I'm just going to do it at the prevailing market price and earn $70 of income. This $70, it's showing a $70 liability because my cash balance in my trading account just increased by $70. I literally had $70 deposited in cash in my cash balance. And that $70 is as real as a dividend.
Yeah.
Now, what's 70 cents on a $6 stock is over a 10% income return in just over 30 days.
Right. But the catch is if it hits the strike price, you got to sell to them.
Right. So now you do have to sell if it does go to, you don't have the upside above six. We've given that to a speculator.
Yeah.
But if I turn around and I'm consistently grabbing 10% a month, like this example, how much did I make in a year if I grab 10% every month?
Yeah, right, 120%. And then if it doesn't hit the strike price, then you still own the shares and the premium, right?
And you got to keep the premium. The point is that when we go through the exercise, now I'm not telling everyone to stop buying stocks and just do covered call writing. Mm-hmm. But let's look at option writing as an asset class, which is we say, okay, I'm going to have a 50% allocation to equity. I know like Chris Cole has his version of what is the right amount of equity in a Dragon portfolio. But let's go with the idea that 50% of our assets are allocated to equity.
Right.
Why not have 20% of that dedicated to premium harvesting and 30% to the upside appreciation of those securities? What you've done is now created a diversifier inside there. You've created a component of your equity that is not reliant on the market having to go up in order for you to make your income return. You're creating an alternative way of generating returns in your portfolio that isn't reliant on appreciation.
Right.
And so it's one of those things that is a choice for generating that return. And so like so we can go through all the different scenarios of what happens. But the key that you want to take away is that we made a guaranteed 70 cent income, which basically means, let's just put up the Peabody chart right here, which is that even though we bought the shares right now up here at $5.80, nice chart, had a pretty good move here in the last few days. But our break even on the shares is actually $5.20, because no matter what, we get to keep the 70 cents.
Yeah, right.
Our cost base on our shares is immediately 70 cents improved. In other words, we would need a drop below $5.20 in order to start losing money.
Yeah, right, right.
And so somebody who turns around and is consistently grabbing income premium, they're turning around and consistently reducing their cost base and creating alternative cash flows. Now, this was an at the money, and immediately.
I mean, theoretically, you could do it if you did it like five or six times in a row, depending on what you're getting up front, you could be playing with the house's money.
Absolutely. You basically can turn around and pay off the entire shares.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and you can sit there and harvest premium on shares that were completely paid off. And this is the part that I love about this, is that you have to look at it not on an individual share basis, because there are thousands of stocks that you could sell option premium on. And so just because we lose Peabody, let's say a month from now we lose it and they're forced to buy it, well, I could turn around and buy Alliance Resources. I could turn around and start writing on Warrior Met Coal. Like if there's a million coal companies out there, and if I lose Peabody, I'll just turn around. Like, you know, Peabody's up here, but let's say you go to Warrior Met Coal. Now that stock is more at the bottom end of the range. So guess what? Now, if I lose Peabody, I'm going to go and find another coal miner, and I'm going to do the cover call right next, my next cover call on this stock. But the key is to always be grabbing premium. That's the whole point of premium harvesting. It's the exercise of having the options market paying you consistent returns over and over again that makes the strategy so powerful, and you can create this return. So let's just do a
count. Also assume, Patrick, that the amount you're getting paid up front is predicated upon the volatility or the probability of the stock reaching that strike price. And so you could, if you got really good, you could find ways where there's kind of what you consider to be asymmetry in the odds that kind of the market maker, if you will, is attaching to the stock hitting that strike price. Therefore, in your previous example, you talked about getting 70 cents, but in another type of market environment, or maybe with another stock, you could have got $1.40 or a dollar or something like that.
Absolutely. And so let me give you an example. All right. So let's just go with this being our, actually, I have to zero this out. So what I want to show you is that this at the money covered call on Peabody basically generated us a 13.46% return in 38 days.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Which annualizes at 128% annualized. But what? But like we were saying, your average cost base or your break even is $5.20. So now you basically have immediately a 12% downside protection, because the stock would have to drop 12% just to get to your break-even price.
Yeah.
On that. Now, based on the math and options pricing, because it's a probability distribution curve, this is this option is being priced at a 47% chance that you're going to lose it.
Yeah. So who's coming up with those probabilities, Patrick?
That's the implied volatility and where the strike price is relative to the stock price.
Right, but is that a formula or is that someone?
Yes. The probability distribution curve is that skew that exists inside the probability skew that exists in the options market. Me and you could cover that in a future session and show how that option market is priced. But the point is that we can mathematically know that this option is being priced based upon the assumption that there's a 47% chance you're going to lose the stock in a month, and a 31% chance that you might be under 520 in a month. That is your math that actually comes, that is inherently being built in. But let's just say though that you're bullish and you want more upside on the option. And you basically want to, on the stock, you want more upside. You're bullish on BTU, and you say, I want to actually anticipate that the stock may even go up another dollar. Well, notice here, you could take a smaller return. So notice here, a $7 strike call is paying 40 cents. Now, that is not a 10% return, but it's still a pretty darn good return. So what we can do here, let's just put it into the simulator. At the $7 strike, we can collect 40 cents income. And what we can calculate, and so now we created not a 13% return, but we made a 7% income.
Right. Because, and so you're being paid less because there's a lower probability that the strike price is hit.
Right. But it also gives you the capital appreciation, because we bought the stock at what price? $5.90.
Yeah. Right.
But our obligation to sell is at $7. So yeah. Between $5 and $7, we have $1.10 of capital gains potential. So if we were forced to sell it, we're now being forced to sell it at $7, not $6. So now what I'm doing is I'm saying I'm going to take less premium, less income up front, but I'm going to give myself more participation on the upside of Peabody to the upside.
Yeah, right.
And so now, if I was forced, even though it's 7% income, if I was in a month forced to sell Peabody, I would have actually made 27% return in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would have made $1.10 capital gain plus the 40 cent income. It's $1.50 a total profit that I would have earned over that period. And that's just in 30 days, right?
Yeah.
And so what we're doing now, our trade-off was we have a higher break-even, less downside protection, and it's easier, therefore, for us mathematically to be in a losing position, because we bought less downside. We had less premium means we have a higher break-even,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But now that option was being priced at a 25% probability that you're going to be forced to sell the stock. So there's an actual 75% chance that we're going to still own Peabody in a month, and we can just do this all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so this strategy is the process of saying, I want to hit these base hits and make 5% in a month, 7% in a month. Just, I want to grab some premium, some income all the time. And if I can just be making that kind of a cash flow on the side on owning the same stocks I was going to own anyway, we're not buying a stock you weren't already willing to own. My right. number one rule in option writing is you never sell premium on something you're not willing to own. So the first criteria is these stocks are stocks that you would have bought anyway. We're just turning them into cash flow machines as opposed to a buy low, sell high vehicles where we're market timing. And again, it's not about saying this is better or worse than stock investing. I believe that this is an important component of a diversified portfolio where we literally treat option writing as an asset class. So you have your stocks, bonds, and my premium harvesting portfolio. Like, it's a part of that mix. And a part of that portfolio is in there. And the part that I think I'm disappointed by when Chris Cole was doing his back testing of option writing, he was assuming you were only doing the option writing on equities. And so he was doing all his back testing saying that you was doing it on the S&P 500 index. But you can harvest this premium just as easily on commodities. You can be covered call writing on gold. You can be covered call writing on Bitcoin. You can be covered call writing on bonds. You can be premium harvesting on every asset class. So it's not just equity risk. You can turn around and do this on anything.
How about Dogecoin?
I don't know. Maybe you can. I have yet to do it.
So how much Dogecoin do you own, Factor? Be honest.
I'm a no coiner. I'm sorry, George. You know what? But listen, I am not going to shit on anyone. In fact, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's speak to your coiners, the ones that actually own Bitcoin, and let's actually do an example of covered call writing on Bitcoin. All right. Now, in the spirit of being consistent with the same platform that we were just using in Canada, there's a Bitcoin ETF it's under the symbol BTCC.U.
So it's this grayscale, right?
It's like a grayscale, and you can write options on it. I know I don't know whether Americans can access this particular one, but I know like there's that Deribit exchange where you can do options trading on crypto. So there are places to do this if you can't access this particular market I'm doing an example of. So let's take a look. Okay, so this is replicating Bitcoin. It's a basket in there. And right now, let's just look at BTCC.B. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one here. So it's trading at $10.20. And right now, let's say you go out for 30 days and sell basically a $10.50 strike covered call, you earn a dollar. So basically, you could do an at-the-money covered call in 30 days and earn yourself a 10% return on your Bitcoin in just 1 month.
What's the longest you can go out?
Right now, you could go out to December. So you can go out 220 days and basically grab an at-the-money $10 will get you a 30% return. You could grab $3 on a $10 unit in income. And so you can basically lock in yourself a 30% income return off of owning a Bitcoin. Now, but let's be bullish on Bitcoin here. All right. You know, I know I don't own the stuff, but let's just go through a scenario. So I'm going to pull up a chart here. So let's just say we're going to trade. Hold on. Let me just pull up a chart here on Bitcoin.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
And if you would have owned the underlying asset anyway, therefore would have realized a loss if the stock or the price of the asset were to go down, yeah. Really your big risk is that the
asset
goes way up and you hit the strike and you're not able to participate in all of the upside.
Right. So let's do an example. All right. So now I know that a bunch of coiners believe that Bitcoin is going to be $1 million unit or something like that. But let's play realistic. Let's talk a 30-day target. What do you think is the over under that Bitcoin, let's say, is above 85,000 in just 30 days? I mean, forget a year from now, it could be way higher. But let's just say, what's the over under that Bitcoin exceeds 85,000 in
30 days?
Yeah,
I would say there's
a chance, but
probability.
Right. So that's roughly 40% higher, right? So there's so when we look at this unit, which is traded at $10. Right now, for let's say we go out for 1 month to the $14 strike, it pays 30 cents. 30 cents on a $10 unit is 3%. Right now, I could turn around and snag for 30 days a 3% cash flow off of selling call on my Bitcoin and still have 40% upside and all the Bitcoin upside up to 80,000 over the next 30 days. It's 39 days.
6% annualized return.
Easily, right? If you make 3% in a month, right? Then yeah, it's going to be, let's just say, let's even forget that. What if you just do this periodically and all you achieve is 20% cash flow in a year while leaving lots of upside on your Bitcoin? And every 30 days, every once in a while, you go and grab it. Well, if you just you're making what kind of an investment makes you 20% nowadays? Like here, you can be having 40% upside on your Bitcoin and grab 3% in a month.
So why isn't every hedge fund doing this?
I'm sure there are, but the thing is the options market at this stage for Bitcoin isn't that big. So I'm just giving
$10 billion. This is worthless because you can't put that much money to work.
Sure, but a retail investor, this is easy, right? So you could basically turn around, grab that 30 cent income premium, and make yourself a nice, clean 3% return on a $10 unit, and you now have turned your crypto view into an income source, right?
Yeah, right.
And we could do this the same way on other currencies, on commodities. You can be covered call. Like I love income grabbing on silver, like the SLV. At Big Picture Trading, all we do is sit there and just premium grab all day long on silver on weekly options, right? And you just turn around, and what we're doing is basically using this as an income source, as a way to complement our long views on the market and our long volatility views. It's just one of the many strategies that are available to you when you take the time to learn about how to use these option strategies.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense for sure. And I think it just, I need to find time in my schedule. I need to allocate time to learning how to do this, because this is just to not understand this. I think you're just limiting yourself on, potential upside that's right there in front of you.
Even if, George, just once every 3 months after a stock rally, you take your blue chip stock and you grab an extra 1%. Now, if you do that every once a quarter and you just grab 1% on a far out of the money strike on a blue chip stock and you make an extra 4%, you just doubled the dividend. So that blue chip stock was paying you probably 3-4% dividend. You just now turned it into a 7-8% cash flow, because you're making 3-4% from the dividend, another 3-4% from the periodic call premium, and suddenly you've just enhanced your returns.
Yeah, right.
Right, and so many people don't even know this strategy exists.
I didn't really know about it.
And it's out there. It's available, and you just got to take the time to educate yourself on using these types of powerful strategies. Now, I want to talk about selling puts for a second. And so selling puts is basically when you sell a premium, you undertake the obligation of buying the security. We are now the insurance company. So before, we were buying the insurance to buy, we were buying the put to protect the downside risk. But there are different assets that we could turn around and generate the return, because insurance companies more often than not end up making money. Obviously, there's always that disaster, and insurance has to make, a company has to make this big payout. But it's one, of those things where they're consistently making money for long periods of time, and then suddenly a market event occurs and the insurance company loses, right? But it, over the long term, they're making money. And selling puts has many of the same characteristics. We're selling that downside insurance. Now, what I want to do is do an example of this. So let's just use Bitcoin, because you got me started on this. But let's just say, you say Bitcoin's a little expensive. But if, let's say, by August, Bitcoin is trading, let's say, 20% down, and you say down at $8.50, I'd buy it, right? So that's, it's trading at 10.25.
Well, okay, this is the Bitcoin Trust. Okay, got
it. Yeah, Bitcoin Trust. It's trading at 10.25, and you say if it drops 20% and it's trading at 8.5 or something like that, I would buy it, right? Well, that $8.50 put is paying you upfront a dollar. So you basically are going to be paid over a 10% premium, for which means that your break even is actually $7.50. Because you, if you're obligated to buy it at 8.5 and you made a dollar income guaranteed, you're actually, your break even is $7.50. And so now you're basically saying, am I willing to own this $2.50 lower than where it's currently trading? If the answer is yes, then you could turn around, grab that income premium. And if it never goes down there, you just made yourself a 10% return.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
what's the speculator thinking on the other side of that?
Well, no, it's not a speculator. It's an insurance. Someone who wants the insurance. Someone who put their entire life savings into Bitcoin and wants to have tail risk. And that if it collapses, that they
once
haven't lost it.
Covered.
Yeah. So he said, you're selling insurance. That's how much tail risk insurance is costing for someone who wants to hedge out the downside risk of Bitcoin. Okay, and you, on the other hand, are saying, I'm willing to buy it down there.
I'm willing to buy it at that price. So their concern is that it goes below $8.50. And so if it goes to $5, you're saying, okay, I'm still going to buy it at $8.50.
Yeah. You basically secure, you are obligated to buy at $8.50.
Yeah.
You're the insurance company.
So they're just putting in a floor to how much they can lose if it's trading at $10. They're saying, okay, I can't afford to lose anything more than if it goes than $1.50, basically.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, so in this scenario, you basically are selling that put for an income to give someone insurance. And they themselves paid you the money because they wanted to buy the insurance.
Yeah.
And when you're becoming the insurance company. Now, to me, if you have the money on the sideline and you're willing to buy it at that price, then was there really a risk? You're already getting at a considerable discount to where it's trading today. All you're doing is you have the money on the sideline and you're saying, I could pick up an extra $1 or 10%. Off of selling this put, and that's 10%, not in a year, that's 10% between now and August, like 4 months, whatever. Like, you basically turning around and generating yourself a quick 10% cash flow, securing that price, right? And it's just a fabulous way of generating returns. The thing is that for most people that when they hear put selling, they are immediately intimidated by it. They basically are like, sounds scary. I heard so many horror stories about people selling puts. But covered call writing and put selling actually have the same payoff profile. So when I look at this right here and I say, when I sell a put option, am I taking more risk than somebody who owns the shares?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'll say is, like, this payoff profile is identical for actually both the covered call writer and the put seller. You're a short, but you're both short gamma. You're both have limited
up. What is gamma?
Gamma is, well, when you're long gamma, you're long optionality and the convexity of an option. You're getting into a little bit more of a complex topic in options trading. That's where you'll hear, obviously, the Charlie McElligots and all these other guys, Chris Coles, talking about this optionality. But the gamma is basically the convexity that once something starts going in your favor, you start making more and more money as you become more and more right. And when you're short gamma, you're the opposite side of it. You're actually short that convexity, not long that convexity. And so without using all that fancy terms, bottom line is that what we want to just talk about here is that both covered call writing and put selling for that component of your portfolio is you are a premium harvester. And so what I want to just demonstrate this very simple comparison. We have two investors, one that buys the shares. So we have a $10 stock and a 3-month covered call is paying 70 cents. So they're making a 7% return in 3 months. Off of a covered call. So they physically buy the shares. They buy, let's say, $10,000 of the stock, yeah. And they turn around and earn a $700 cash flow upfront, as real as a dividend in your hand, right? And it's money in your pocket. Now, in the end, they have entered an obligation that if that stock is above $10, they're forced to sell the stock, but they made a guaranteed 7%.
Mm.
Now, at the same time, someone turns around and sells a 3-month put. They don't own the shares yet. They have the obligation to buy the same $10,000 of stock that the investor in the first scenario already bought. They're not taking any more or less equity risk than the covered call writer. In the end, there's just whether or not you own the shares first or you own the shares later.
Yeah,
it's you're taking the same underlying $10,000 equity risk, and because of put call parity, it's going to pay you the exact same 70 cent income. So in both of these scenarios, our investor is actually got the same break even, $9.30. You basically, whether you bought the stock and made 70 cent premium, you have a $9.30 break even. And if you sold the put for 70 cents and it's put to you at $10, your average cost is $9.30. The point I'm making is actually covered call writing and put selling are actually synthetically identical. There isn't much difference between them. Yet many people view covered call writing to be very conservative and selling puts to be risky. And in the end, it's not. They're literally the identical strategy and are quite interchangeable. In fact, a strategy that I cover in presentations is called the wheel strategy, where basically once the stock is put to you, once you sell it, sell the put, and then the stock is assigned and you have to force to buy it, you just begin covered call writing on it. And you covered call write on it until it's they force you to sell it, and then you turn around and sell puts to buy it back, and you just sit there and you just wheel. It's a wheel strategy of just grabbing premium over and over again on the stock, rotating between covered call writing and put selling. It's an amazing way of just premium grabbing over and over again.
So that kind of sparked a question that I had earlier.
Yeah,
if you're selling the puts, does the brokerage require you to have the amount of money in your account, and do they freeze it so you can't spend it, or what prevent you? You see where I'm going with that?
Yes. So this is the difference between what is known as a cash covered put and a naked put.
Okay.
Now a cash covered put, you can get your account approved for cash covered put, and which they then collateralize a certain amount of cash to secure the notional assignment risk. They basically are saying, you need to earmark this cash. So just in case you're forced to buy it, the money's already there. But if you have a margin account and you already have a good rotation going, you could sell the put on margin. And
yeah,
basically know that you have enough collateral on all the other things you own in your portfolio that if it's put to you, you can still buy it because you have enough margin.
Okay, right? Then on the opposite side, what's preventing you from selling those shares to someone else prior to the strike, the time frame, you know, prior to it achieving that strike price, if that's the deal that you negotiate.
You can buy and sell the options quite freely in the open market. But in order for an option to be covered or cash covered or whether covered call to be considered covered, the stock has to exist there in your account. The moment you sell that stock, and then the brokerage will no longer treat it as covered, but will treat it naked. And then if you're not approved for that, then the brokerage will notify you that you are offside. They'll let you know that if you can carry it naked, then you could choose to do that. But the bottom line here is that this strategy is a process from which you can generate returns consistently without needing the market to be going up to make the return. Yeah. And when I started in this business, the reason I became an options expert was because I had this unique opportunity for 5 years back in 2003 to 2007, where I got to work with a portfolio manager at my old firm. And I was, as a kid, given a $50 million pool. And all I was told to do for 5 years was just be a premium pig and just go and harvest as much out of there. And I got to do this with real money. This wasn't about like doing this with a $50,000 account. And all I was doing was just over and over again, grabbing income premium wherever there is, on this stock, on that stock. And basically all I was doing was just premium harvesting. That's how I cut my teeth in this business. And that's how I learned how options work. And while I love long volatility strategies, and while I love the convexity of going long options, income generation through option writing is something that's near and dear to my heart, because that's where I started. And that's been the most consistent strategy that we have at Big Picture Trading. Almost every income write we have is now making money. We just sit there in our options for income portfolio and just sell premium and keep collecting all this income. We do it on conservative stuff like Verizon and AT&T, or we turn around and do it on coal miners and resources and commodities such as gold and silver. We basically are sitting there and just grabbing premium all day long. It's such an amazing strategy. And, you know, like we should do a thing together and actually teach people how to do this.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking through. And I know we discussed that briefly prior to the call. The last time I think we did something like that was with that Dragon Portfolio series, right, where we did a 2 or 3 hour workshop for people who wanted to really take a deep dive into how to execute the strategy. So you're wanting to do something like that?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's train your listeners on how to do this strategy. I think it's a great idea. Me and you will get together. We'll do a 2-hour session. I'll be teaching you. You'll simplify
that's,
it for everyone.
That's the main reason that I want to do this. I just want to learn myself. It's completely selfish.
Listen, I'm happy to show you how the strategy works and how you can use it. I think it's an important component. You know, a lot of people love real estate, not only for the appreciation, but they love the income stream that comes from that consistent. And a lot of people
buy real estate. I don't buy it for the appreciation at all.
That's just a bonus.
Icing on the cake. I just buy it for the cash flow.
Right. And so this is one of the ways. That's why I call it the stock rental business. In the end, what you're doing is you're taking a component of your portfolio and you're turning it into this absolute return strategy that is uncorrelated with stocks moving up or down. You're just consistently grabbing income premium over and over again. And it's a great way of creating consistent cash flows in your portfolio. Yeah. I mean, a simple way to think of it, George, is that if you can, let's just be conservative. Forget these 100% thing. If you can grab 20 to 25% cash flow every single year, irrespective of whether you're up or down on the stocks. So sometimes you're going to have losing years. Sometimes you're winning years because stocks might go down in that year or might go up. But you grab a raw cash flow of 20 to 25%. In 4 years, how much cash flow did you collect? 100% of the
compounded,
easily compounded 100%. So how much would you have to have lost on your underlying principal for you not to be making money after 4 years of premium harvesting? All of your principal. The thing is that if you're doing this consistently, the cash flow you're going to generate makes it hard to lose, because you don't need the market to go up 100% to make 100%. You just need to be consistently grabbing that cash flow.
How much time, once someone, well, I guess two questions. Number one, how much time would it take for a beginner like me to have enough competency to do this well? And then number two, how much time would I have to allocate to this strategy, let's say per week, in order to execute this long term?
You know what I love, George, is that you could do this as simple as, like, for instance, we are doing weekly options on silver. So every week we're in there once a week rolling a silver option over and over again.
How long would that take me to do? Would that take me 2 hours? Would that take
It takes like 15 minutes. But the second thing, a lot of our income rights, we go out an entire year. We basically will go out there and we'll just grab like a big juicy premium. That option is written out for the rest of the year, and you don't even have to look at it. Long as you had, you knew what you were selling it on and why you were doing it, you could turn around and generate that cash flow and just check up on it every once in a while, like you check up on your stocks. There's no active trading in premium harvesting.
I think that's more interesting to me.
Right? It's so passive. It is all of the other strategies that we talk about involve buying low, selling high, which means you have to pay attention. You have to always be on the market. What's the market doing now? Should I do something? How should I act? With premium harvesting, you're paid for sitting on your hands and doing nothing. You basically sell the premium that you want, and then you turn around just wait. And you're just waiting for it to play out.
So how long would it take me to learn something like that? I mean, is it realistic to learn how to have a decent level of competency just if you and I do a 2 or 3 hour workshop? Or would it
absolutely
take a couple of
those? The core is to get an options fundamental base in everybody. Yeah. You have to understand what is your rights, your obligations, how to execute a trade, how to calculate your returns, how to track it, like some basic straightforward things. But the key is to keep enhancing your knowledge, which is that over time, you're going to get more and more experience at it. You're going to want to improve your knowledge base. But the most basic strategy can be executed very passively, and it doesn't take a lot of to learn how to do it. And the best part is you can do it in retirement accounts. Like, you know, if you you take a 401k or something like this, or a Canadian and an RSP, you sit there and you can just sit there and harvest premium passively in a retirement account. And then, and often those are tax sheltered, and so you can, so you don't even have to worry about all the different tax issues of being transactional with it. There's all sorts of amazing things you could do with this. I'm looking forward to it, George. Well, let's do a session. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, let's do it. So we'll get the title figured out with your marketing guy, Luke, and what we'll do is we'll just put a link in the description below. Once we get things figured out, that has the date and the time, and we'll take them to a page or something like that where they can enroll. That sounds like a good game plan.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing you in Miami.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a great time, bud. We're gonna have a few beers with all of your listeners. It's gonna be great. I'm looking forward
and
to
the
it.
And speakers too. Every speaker that I've spoken with is just super, super excited, because a lot of them haven't had a chance to do something face to face for like a year and a half. I know Brent Johnson specifically is like super, super, super stoked. Yeah. He's like, man, it's about time someone's actually doing a face to face event. I cannot wait to get there. So yeah, I think everyone's really excited.
I've had a great time. I was on a panel with Brent at the Silver and Gold Summit out in San Francisco and a few other places. He's a great guy. We're gonna have a great time.
The speakers, it's an all-star crew. So I can't wait. Okay, buddy, for my viewers who wanna find out more about what you do, where can they go?
BigPictureTrading.com. And there you can try a free trial and look at the options for income portfolio that we already have open. when it's free to go and look behind the curtain and see what we're doing and which stocks we have written premium on. And we'll be attaching that link to where people can actually take a boot camp on how to do this options income writing for themselves. And I'm looking forward to helping all your listeners see the value in doing this for themselves.
Yeah. All right, buddy. I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Hi, guys. I'd like to invite each and every one of you to join me in Miami this June 11th through the 13th for Rebel Capitalist Live, the investment conference. And this is not over Zoom. This is face-to-face. I'm bringing a lot of your favorites from the Rebel Capitalist Show to Miami under one roof to speak, to give you the knowledge you need to increase your personal freedom, to become a better investor and make larger returns over the next few years when we have this financial uncertainty that's being caused by the Fed and the government. And finally, it's going to give you an opportunity to really take your understanding of macroeconomics and the world around us to the next level. We've got some incredible speakers lined up that are going to completely blow you away. People like Mike Maloney, Jason Hartman, Ken McElroy, Lynette Zhang, Mark Moss, Brent Johnson, Jeff Snyder, just to name a few. The tickets for this event are really going to sell out fast, so make sure you go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now to get all the details and to reserve your spot. We need to come together as a group, as a community, especially after what we dealt with in 2020 and 2021, so we can learn how to build wealth and thrive in a world of out of control central banks and big governments. And we need to do this as a group, as a community of fellow Rebel Capitalists. So don't waste any time. Head over to RebelCapitalistLive.com, and I will see you in Miami.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.